Let's start again. The Mishnah and Yud Amud Beis. Kol Hashtaros Olam Be'Akosh Olav Dikachavim Afal Pishal Chosmeim Olav Dikachavim. It's written by the Nochrim and it's signed by the Nochrim. And the Shtar is between two Jewish people. Shtar says that I owe money to somebody else. So the Mishnah says Ksher, it's acceptable. So the Gemara says, what is it based on? Why does it only apply Be'Akosh? And then the Gemara says that the last line in the Mishnah goes back to the Reisha. But who's screwed? We have a tradition from earlier generations that a shtar that's signed by Nochem is not acceptable. So the Mishnah explained, who's screwed? That psul is only b'zman shenasa behedyud. If it wasn't done in the arkos, if it was done in the arkos, then it is kosher. It's kosher min ha-Torah or it's kosher min ha-Rabbanan. So this is the big machlokes harishonim that we mentioned yesterday. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, chutz migita noshim shechur yavol. A Gadish and a Shtar Shichur is not acceptable if it's signed by Nochrim. The Gemara says the reason why. The Gemara says four lines from the bottom, five lines from the bottom. Because Labanei Krisis Nim. The Gemara asks Reb Shimon, how can the Mishnah quote the Tanah Reb Shimon as saying, Afeiluk Sheirim, even a Gadish and a Shtar Shichur Rav Nine is also kosher. If it's made in the Arkos. The Gemara says, how can it be? Of course the Tanah Kama is right. Labanei Krisis Nim. What does it mean? Labanei Krisis Nim? So the simple reading of the Gemara is the way Rashi said on the previous daf, that there is a din. Whoever Zayna B'Torah is Gid Mekidushin is not kosher leidus in that area. Whoever Zayna B'Torah is something is not kosher leidus in that area. That's what we had the Gemara Baba Basra on Kufnu and Hei. So the Gemara says that a cotton is pasul leidus, and Rabbi Kivega collected all the four reasons why a cotton is pasul leidus. Rabbi Kivega on Baba Kama, daf Peches, on the side of the daf. So the first mocker is the Gemara Baba Basra. That a kotna is a labar mekach memkar. So since he's zeni b'taras mekach memkar, a kotna shehizik is not chayv to pay. So any area of halacha that the kotna can't be mekadosh in isha, kotna can't be mekadosh in isha. So any area of halacha that the kotna is zeni b'taras, so whenever you're zeni b'taras, you pasul leidus. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So here also, the nochem alabene krisis nino. What does it mean labene krisis? Zeni b'taras git nikidushin. So you pasul leidus. That's what Tosis wrote on Testament based on the top. The four reasons why a get that's signed by a Nochri is possible. So they gave it one reason because the Nochri is any B'Torah's get Nikidushin and say possible. And they gave another reason on Nochri is possible latest even in Didi Mominus. Forget about any B'Torah's. But one separate reason is based on the Gemara. Any B'Torah's get Nikidushin. We had a problem that Rashi wrote on the previous daf. Rashi and some other Rishonim write the same also on Testament base. Dibra Maskil. Where is it? Sula de Rabbanon. Eda Bataris Git Mikidushin. Rashi writes as if it's only a local psul and Hilchas Git Mikidushin. Because it says, Vikosav in Osan, Mishi Yesh the Mechalal Nesina, Yesh Bechalal Ksiva. And Nochri is Eda Bataris. So there's a new pasuk over here. Why does Rashi have to develop a whole new drush over here? If the Gemara says in Baba Basra that a cotton is possible aidus in any area where he's ain't a b'taris, the Gemara even asked the question until the age of 20, any ochalimka b'nichse yavib shall let him be possible aidus in karka until the age of 20. So the Gemara answers the kash. But you see, from the Gemara, it's a general psalm, it's a universal psalm. Whenever someone is ain't a b'taris in a certain area, he's possible aidus in that area. So that's a problem. Rashi and some other Rishonim around like that. Iran and others, because of it, Nasim, Yishesh, Bechal, Nasina. What does he write as if it's a local din? So that's a problem. So the simple reading of the Gemara on Yudam and Beis, five lines from the bottom, is that Nochrim apostolatus only in the area of Gittin the Kibushin. And Didi Mammon is Nochrim Akosha. Hertam Aysa. Nochrim is Kosha, going to have a din Torah, and then Nochrim is going to come and give a Haggadah Seidus. So the Rishonim say, look, a Jew who cheats in business is also apostolatus. A Jew who's a Rosh at the Chumash is also apostolatus. So Nochri, if he's choshed al agezel, so he's a rosh of the chomas. Just like it says by a Jew, al tosh esad chomrosh aliyah seid chomas. So by a Nochri, he's also the same thing. By a Jew, we have an additional din. We pass from like Abayi b'Yal Kagam that the mem of Yal Kagam is mumerech on the Beis Lachis. So who Jew is a mechal Shabbos? A Jew who eats treifas all the time is posulatus, even in Dina Mamis, even though he's an honest person. Why should it be postulated? So that's what Rava held. Rava held that pasuk that says, Al Tosh Yisrat Chom Rosh Eliyah Zayt Chomas only passels a Rosh of the Chomas where there's a Hashash Meshaker. Whenever there's no Hashash Meshaker, whenever there's no cause to be concerned that maybe he's dishonest, so then Rava holds that he's kosher ladies. The Gemara says, we don't pass like Rava. We pass like Abayi. That's a shaila. We pass on like Abai. Is it Xeris HaKosuf? Xeris HaMelech that the Rosha, the Lab de Chomis is Pasalaitis? Or is it that Abai holds that he's Choshed L'Shaker? So that's what we discussed, the shaila. So this din probably will not carry over to Bnei Noyach. This halacha kabai bi'al kagam by Bnei Noyach, the Rishonim say the only one is going to be pasaleid, the only nachri is going to be pasaleid is a nachri who's cheats in business. If he's choshed l'shaker, just because he eats eva manachayu all the time, he's always running around with the next door neighbor's wife, he's in violation of Eishes Ish, or whatever else he does, he probably would not pasal him. So, a group of Rishonim understand that the only Rashi sounds like he says like that. The top Rashi over here on Testament base, and the Agos Ashri quotes from the Sefer HaChochma like that. One of the Rishonim, they understand the only psul by a nachri is by gitnui kiddushin. A lot b'nei krisis nim. Indeed, in Mamanus it would be kosher, and that's what it says in the Mishnah. Kol ashtar sa'olam akosher nachim akosher menat Torah. It's not just kashim at the rabban. It's kashim in atar. You don't need a takan of the rabban. So here the Rishonim pose a question. Here the Ran and the Mordechai. The Ran on our daf, on our Mishnah, daf Yudim and Beis, and the Mordechai and this daf. So they both pose a question from that Gemara in Bava Basu that we mentioned yesterday a few times. The Gemara says Moshe and Aaron have to come together to give testimony. He won't accept their testimony. So it cannot be that the Hashudim l'shaker. You think that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lie? No. Mistam is telling the truth. But it's Xeris HaMelech. That's the Loshon HaGemar. It's Xeris HaMelech that it's no good. That's the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf, where was it? Kuf, someone looked it up. Kuf Nun Tesamer Aleph. Yeah, they run on our Daf. Quotes that Gemara. So yes, the Kasha, if you're telling me that a Nochri's testimony is acceptable min HaTorah. A Nochri's testimony is acceptable min HaTorah whenever there's no chashash meshaka be'akosh on Nochrim. We know that like Mari Nafshayu, if not for the fact that it really happened, they would never write such a document on their official stationery. So Moshe V'Aaron also we know that they're telling the truth. We assume that Moshe V'Aaron is less of an umdina that they're telling the truth than the akosh on Nochrim. So just like akosh on Nochrim should be good, why shouldn't Moshe V'Aaron be good as well? So here's where the big machlekes and the Rishonim is. So some, what are they bringing from Moshe V'Aaron? What are they proving? You see that if the Torah says that Thomas Pasleidis, it doesn't help you're going to construct an umdin in the Muchach that he's telling the truth. That's the Xeris HaKosuf, that you don't go with umdinus to determine who's telling the truth. You have to be kosher leidis. That's what we mentioned yesterday. Rav Baruch Ber quotes this in name of Rav Elvala Soloveitchik. That's what the Rishonim say. So the Rishonim give this big machlekes over here. So after the Rishonim answer that the Akosh al Nachum is only kosher with the Rabban. Min HaTorah won't be kosher because it doesn't help umdinus. The other half of the Rishonim say, no, Moshe V'Aaron is a pasuk that kraivim are no good. So you're trying to reconstitute the Yedus based on an umdin and the Muchach that they're telling the truth. You can't construct an umdin and the Muchach if the pasuk says that people are postulators, it doesn't help. But by the Nachrim, there is no such pasuk. By the Nachrim, they say that the Sefer HaChochma, that's where the Mordechai quotes the Sefer HaChochma that the Hagos Ashri quotes. The Sefer HaChochma, but they're Rashi, that they hold that a Nochri is only Pasaleidus and Gitni Kiddush because they ain't a Betoras. But indeed, Imam Nisbah, he is Betoras, he is Koshaleidus. So the only reason why you don't accept a Nochri, so how come we never accept a Nochri? The answer is we think that they're lying. Whenever there's a Hashash Meshaker because of Rosh HaDuchams, you don't accept Eidus from a Jew either, so you don't accept from a Nochri. But if you have a kosher nochem and you know for sure there's no chashash meshaker, then you revert back to the din deraisa that the yedim are good. So that's what the Mordechai quotes, this fundamental machlokes of Rishonim. When it says in the Mishnah, a kosher nochem, the shtar that's oil about a kosher nochem is acceptable in dini mominis, because le mari nafshayu, is that a takana de rabbonan? That's a Tosis wrote on Testament base. That's only takana de rabbon. Takanta de rabbon, he hech de kimla mesadis. It's only takana de rabbon. Can't work on the level of the right. So that's Tesis and Iran, right, like that. That's Lishitasam. They hold that Nachram Apostolatis Mikaradin. So it's not going to be better than Moshe V'Aaron. That's how the Iran presents. It's not going to be better than Moshe V'Aaron. That the Gemara says in Bava Basra that they're no good. You don't construct an umdin at that to telling the truth. And the other Rishonim man said, no, Moshe V'Aaron is a psul. That's a pasul. The Nachri is not. There is no din that a Nachri is pasul. The only reason why the Nachri is pasul is because we usually assume there's a hashash meshake, but by Akosh and Nochem, there's no hashash meshake, so you revert back to the Ikadin Derais. So that's the Mordechai quotes the two shitas beferish on this daf. The Ran only quotes like Tosfos, the one shita that it's a takana de rabbanan, it can't be min haTorah because Moshe v'Aaron is not good. This is the machlokes. So the question is, so the Tosfos asks this question: if you hold like that shita, two opinions in the Mordechai. If you hold like that opinion in the Mordechai, like Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma, then nocher makosher whenever there's no chashash meshaker. So what does the Gemara ask a question on the Mishnah? Kapasik v'tani loishne mecha loishne matane on Yudavid base. It says all the shtaras that are oilam v'akosh anochem are acceptable, even the shtar matane. So the Gemara says, Bishleim ashtar halvoa. I understand, the shtar halvoa, the nochem, the akosh is right that he lent them $100,000, and we know that it's true, so he has to pay. But he's going to say ashtar mecha is also good. It says that he paid him $100,000 to buy the real estate, paid him $1 million to buy the house. So the house is his, so he's kind of a kesef, and the shtar is only the raya, and it's a good raya. But what are you going to say if it's shtar matana? Isn't the shtar matana achaspa bialmo? That's the Gemara's kasha. Let it be achaspa bialmo. So the Tzitzis question asks, why is it achaspa bialmo? If you hold like the Rashi in the Mordechai, in the Sefer HaChochma, the nochrem aksherim le'edis, the only reason why you usually don't accept their testimony is because chashash meshaker, a Jew has a chashash meshaker, also you don't accept. But if our sakor shanachem is no chashash meshaker, then it's good menator. So why did it become a chaspa bialma? It's a kosher ishtar menator. That was the Tzoyis' kasha. How did they was a Rishonim read the Gemara? So the Tzoyis pulled in the Tzoyis in Kiddushin. That's where we left off yesterday. Tzoyis in Kiddushin quotes a machloikis. They quote the Rabbi and Daf Yudalit. The Rabbi and Tam's opinion is that a nochri is not kind of karka b'ishtar. Nochri is only kind of karka b'kesef. So the Tzoyis says, just like a nochri is posel le'edus min haTorah, by getting the Kiddushin, because they ain't the Torahs, so nochri will be posel le'edus in a kinyan shtar, on karka, because a nochri is ain't the Torahs, kinyan shtar. A nochri is good for a shtaraya. For a shtaraya, on a halvoa, for a shtaraya, that someone bought a house, the kinyan mois, the kinyan kesef. But the nochri should serve as a kosher aid on a shtar kinyan. So the Tzoyis explained, that was the Gemara's kasha. It should be chaspa bi'alma. Why is it chaspa bi'alma means absolutely worthless? Why is it absolutely worthless? It should be kosher min haTorah. So he says, no, because a nochri is ain't a b'Torah's kinyan shtar. So you can dig zach. A nochri is ain't a b'Torah's kinyan shtar, but he can buy real estate. He can buy real estate with a different kinyan. He can buy real estate with a kinyan kesef. So that's called ain't a b'Torah's. That's called Deina B'Torahs. Okay, so this is what the Dingzach. That's how the Tzayis Achoshim read the Gemara. How did the other Rishonim read the Gemara? Most of the Rishonim probably don't hold like that. Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma. That's a collector's item. That's a believe it or not. And Nochri is Kosher Leidus. And Dini Mamun is the only thing is Chashash Meshakem. And it's our cause is Kosher Manatar. So we usually learn like the Tesis, not like Rashi. The top Tesis on Tes on the base. And the Ran and the other opinion in the Mordechai that it's only takana de rabban, it's not a din menater, so it's a takana de rabban. So what was the Gemara's kasha chaspa bialmo? It's a takana de rabbanon. We don't have a shtar. Al pi din, there is no shtar. It's a takana de rabbanon that we construct the ruba de leisa kamon. We assume that the halvor really happened. We assume that the person really sold the karka to the other one, the kesef, because loy mari nafshayu. If it's not true, they wouldn't have written such a document on their official stationery. So we assume that it really happened. So we assume it happened. So there's an umdah in the muchach that it happened. But the shtar is not a valid shtar. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Let it be achas bebyalma. How is the other fellow coin of the car? So that's why Rashi has the kasha. Rashi doesn't understand the Gemara. What's the problem? Why don't you just say, why is it good? Yeah, the Mishnah says, why is it not good by Gita Noshim? Because the Nochri is Pasaleidus. Fine. Ain't a bit terrible. Then the Mishnah says, Rab Shimon, I'm afeiluk shir. That's also good. How can it be kosher? The Gemara asked. How is that? How can Rab Shimon say that get the Isha is kosher if it's signed by Nochrim? Of course the Nochrim are Pasal. That's ain't a bit terrible. So the Gemara answers, Rab Shimon holds like Rab Lazar, Eidim Mesir Karsi, and that's what the Mishnah means. If he gave it in the presence of Eidim Mesir. So what does the Tanakhama disagree? Why does Tanakhama hold that it's no good? So Gemara says over here, and Gemara says on the previous stuff, Tanakhama is also Rab Lozer. Tanakhama also holds that if you give it in the presence of Eidim Mesir, it's good. But over here, there's a psul of mezuyif mitoicha. If chasmei makom, it's not good mid the rabbanim. But that psul only applies to gitei noshim shechuri avarim. That psul the rabbanim doesn't apply to ashtari mamim. That's the simple reading of the mishnah. That the psul of mezuyif mitoicha. The psul of mezuyif mitoicha. Only applies to gitei noshim shechuri avarim. They patzel mid the rabbanim. If there the mosel mismachalayu. And they never made this gzera de rabbanon by the other stories. So the Gemara asked the kasha here. Nacham also the Gemara asked the kasha. Elu shtar matona v'maykoni le la b'hai shtora. Isn't this shtora a chaspa b'yalma? Why was it a chaspa b'yalma? Why does the Gemara say we're talking about such a situation where the shtar was given over in the presence of Eidim Asira? Why does the Gemara think that it's absolutely meaningless? So Tosis quotes Vaymari. The Gemara holds at this point. The Gemara in the previous daf said the Feirish. The Gemara on Tesam and Aleph had a Braisa. And the Braisa only lists three dinim. So the Gemara asks, there are 16. The Rambam quotes, there are 16. Why does they only have three dinim? So the Gemara says, you're only listing dinim derabbanan, and you're only listing. The Gemara at one point said, and the Gemara backed out. The Gemara at one point said, you're only listing dinim derabbanan, you're only listing the dinim that gitei noshim shechuri avarim have in common, to the exclusion of all other stories. Ein shtar lachamisa, that's a din by all stories. So we're only listing of the dinim that these have in common. So what was one of the dinim that was mentioned? For lashtaros olam b'akosh anochem b'akosher, except for gitei noshim shechuri avarim. They made a din derabbanan of mezuyif mitoch only by gedish and shtar shechuri avikneini. They never made that din derabbanan by shar stores. So the simple reading in the Gemara that there is no din of mezuyif mitochai by shar shtarei mamon. So we asked Akasha when we learned Abdallah and Aleph. The text is quoted in the Gemara from Sanhedrin. And then Sanhedrin Dav Chav Ches, it says that there is a din of mezuyif mitochai by shtarei mamon. So we said in Chayshim Mishpah, the Achranim asked Akasha, they give a teretz. There is talking about mezuyif mitochai by Krovim San. He was talking about Nochrim San. Nochrim sign, that's Tiyuta B'Yalma. Nochrim, they never kosher latest. So that's them, they spilled a little ink there. That's Lamal of Lamberd. Kroivim, that's what to discuss. Like we said, the Tumim says that you say Korv Apostle by Kroivim, and you wouldn't say Korv Apostle by Anochri. Anochri doesn't have a shame aid at all. So the Chumr to go so far to say Mizuyif Mitoch, even Chosmea Makum, that was only introduced by Gedish and Shtar Sheikh Rav Nani. It was never introduced by Shar Shtaris. Fine, that's what it says in Choshmish. So comes this Re on Yudim and Beis, and he says, the Gemara's kasha chaspa b'alma was because they were working on this makshin on daf yudav basis of the opinion of Marie, just like hechad the paslina beget daf b'edim misiri shemis mufakum shum mizuyif mitoicha dil masel mis machalai lemim sirina etc etc. So too hachanami paslina b'shtar matone v'letikon chom laminam v'le b'shtar milva mecher. So the Re learns that our Gemara is chaylik on the previous daf. Agmar and asking this kasha chaspa b'yalma, so the kasha meant that it's mizuyif mitoichai and mizuyif mitoichai chasmei amakum even applies by all shtari mamim. Doesn't only apply to get dishan shtar shechur avikneini. It applies to all shtari mamim. We don't have to split between kreivim. We're not going to say that only by kreivim we say mizuyif mitoichai by shtari mamim. By nochrim, not no. That's how the rereads argument. So it comes out it's a steer. That the previous daf, the Gemara assumed that mizuyif mitoicha chasmei amakum does not apply to shtarei mamon. Now Gemara is asking such a kasha, shtar chaspa bi'almahu means that it's mizuyif mitoicha. It's a little funny, the lashon chaspa mal means absolutely meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless because ula yesh loimer that yesh lahakshes b'doichet. Ula yesh loimer that it's a din of mizuyif mitoicha even by shar shtar. If the Gemara in the previous daf said that it is kasha, so our Gemara calls it. And you're talking about a din derabbanan. How far do you go in a din derabbanan? So you call that a chaspa b'yalma, absolutely meaningless. Why is it absolutely meaningless? So that's problematic. That's a psadoichik. So then Tosfos goes further. On the third white line in the Tosfos, avalein laimar, but you shouldn't say that this is pshat in the Gemara. Why did the Gemara say chaspa b'yalma? And Tosfos is alluding to some kind of a pshat. And they don't explain fully what the pshat is. And they go on weiter. The Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. So what exactly are they talking about? So you look in the Tosfos HaRosh on this Gemara, So he has a fantastic, he explains Barichas, what the pshat was that Tosis rejected. This is a wild pshat. It's not because chaspa b'yam is a psul derais. It's that the term chaspa b'yam sounds like it's a real psul derais. It doesn't sound like it's only a din derabbanan. What's the psul derais? According to the Ri, it's only mezuif mitoichai. And Agmar is chaylik on the previous gemara. The gemara meant to say it's a psul derabbanan because dil masalim is machalayim. That doesn't fit it. So the ein loymar is suggesting a new psul derais. What's a psul derais? So it comes up with this chiddush. What the Ktzais HaChoshen said, but the Ktzais said it when they get to... The Ktzais doesn't say the same thing as this Shita. The Ktzais is more elegant. The Ktzais said that a Nochri, Zayn of the Torah's Kinyan Shtar, so the Nochri is Pasolatus on the Kinyan Shtar. This Balatais is not going on the Nochri Pasolatus. He's saying a Nochri is Pasol for Ksivas HaShtar. See, we had the Taisis on the top of Tesson and Beis. Oymeri, so Tosfos says there are four reasons why a get is possible menatoira if it's signed by Nochri. So one reason was that the Nochri signed Shalai Lashma, that's a Gemara later. Another reason is that his Zayin B'Torah's get in Kiddushin. So we pointed out that Rab Chaim in the Sefer quotes Rab Simcha Zelek that Zayin B'Torah's is not a separate din. Whoever is Zayin B'Torah's cannot create Lashma. Tosfos wrote, the Nochri cannot write Lishma, and then furthermore, his Zayin B'Torah is getting the Kiddushin. So we pointed out, according to Rab Chaim, and according to the Ritva, we had a lot of Marmikaimus for that. According to the whole group of Rishonim, Zayin B'Torah is not a separate psul. Wherever there's a din that you need Lishma, so whoever is Zayin B'Torah that area cannot create Lishma. Tosfos says, women are not Mukhayv in the mitzvot tzitzis, Amem Heh Mebeis. Women are not Mukhayv in the mitzvot tzitzis. And Tosfos assumes, the Rambam disagrees, Tosfos assumes that tying the chuti atzitzis has to be done with Shema, so a woman cannot tie the Shema, because where is any b'toras, cannot create the Shema. The women are mechuyev matzah. If the women would have been exempt from the mitzvah matzah, if it would have been governed with the regular rule, the mitzvah sesa shaz ma'am d'ashem turis, women would have been possible for asiyas ha-matzah, because you need asiyah l'shema. You need shmura matzah, asiyah l'shema. And whoever is any b'toras cannot create the Shema. The mazal is that the women are mechuyev matzah. So therefore they can't create Lishma. So that's what a group of Rishonim said. So Tosfos said, no, these are two different din. There's one din, whoever is any b'toras cannot create a Heftzah Shal Mitzvah. Then there's another din that a Nochri cannot adaita the Nafshei Kovet. So the Tosfos assumes that whoever is Eina b'toras cannot create a Heftzah, even if you don't need Lishma. Even if you don't need Lishma. So that's what Tosfos says. The Gemara, Tosfos says in Kiddushin Daf Yudale, Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan, that a Nochri cannot be koine karka with a Kinyan Shtar. So therefore, a Nochri is Eina B'Torah's Kinyan Shtar. So if a Nochri writes a Shtar, the Shtar is possible. But how can the Shtar be possible? If a monkey writes the Shtar, is good. If the Shtar fell down from heaven, if it grows on a tree like that, let's say there's a tree, that the bark of the tree grows like that, it says, I studied the Sunam Chav and Maton. So I'm going to chop down the tree and give you the tree. That's the way it grew from the ground. So who says that you need the Maisik Siva B'Liyodim at all? When a get has to be written Lishma. So every Zayin B'Torah cannot create Lishma. That we can understand. But Shtori Mammon, you don't need Lishma. So Tosh says you don't need Lishma, but you still need a Maisik Siva done by human being. Who says? Why do you need a Siva B'Chlav? If it doesn't have a text, if it doesn't have a Nusach, So it can't serve as a shtar. A shtar is not a piece of paper. It has to say the sefer ha-maisa. Sari kanui l'cha b'matan. Sari mechui l'cha. Sari nisun l'cha b'matan. But if it says it, how do I care how it got there? So Tosfos has, that's the ein loymer. That's what Tosfos is rejecting, and the Tosfos HaRashi elaborates upon. Because the Rabbeinu Tam holds in Kiddushin Daf Yudalad, he has his rise from the Gemara. He interprets the Gemara in Kiddushin like that. Then a Nochri doesn't have a kinyan shtar and karka. He only has a kinyan Kesef, so Nochri Zayin B'Torah's Kinyan Shtar. Whoever Zayin B'Torah's cannot create Lishma, cannot create a Heftz of a Shtar on the assumption that it has to be created by human being. That's it. And Gansen Achidish, that's what they learn Pshat. Chaspa B'Alma, it's a Psul Deraisa. A Shtar Kinyan that's written by a Nochri, since a Nochri Zayin B'Torah's Kinyan Shtar, so that'll be a Psul Deraisa. The Ksois said differently. The Ksois was talking about the Nochrim signing the shtar. He asked, according to the Sefer HaChochma and Rashi, that whenever the Nochri is not Choshed Lushaker, so he's Koshel Eidus. So why does the Gemara say Chas B'Biyama? It should be a kosher shtar min ha-Torah. It should be a perfectly good shtar. Why does the Gemara say Chas B'Biyama? So he answers because since he's any B'Torah's Kinyan shtar, he's B'Torah's Kinyan karka. But because any B'Torah's Kinyan shtar, so vis-a-vis Kinyan shtar, he's postulatus. That's how the Tos said. But here the Tosfos is rejecting, Tosfos is alluding to this other pshat. They don't like it, they think it doesn't fit into the Gemara. So the other pshat is that Anochi, forget about signing. Anochi is possible for Ksiva Sashtar. That a Ksiva Sashtar, you have to be Yeshna B'Toras. That's a Gansen Mechudish. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Tosfos Sam Emhem and Bey says you can't say like that. That's what they yesed on the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that a woman is possible for tying tzitzis. Because since the woman is Eina B'Toras, she cannot create tzitzis. So the yes, under Rabbi Natan, how can you say that? If a guy makes a sukkah, it says in the Gemara that is good. Sukkah's gambach is good. Gemara sukkah daf ches on the base. So how can a guy is any b'toras mitzvah sukkah, so how can he create the sukkah? So the Achraim all say, the Ksav Sefer, and the other Achraim, they all say, no, the Rabbi Natan only meant to say, whoever is any b'toras cannot create lishma. If you would have held like Beis Shammai, that this chach has to be placed on the shame mitzvah, lishma, you would have taka said a sukkah made by a guy is not good. But since we pass like Basila, that Asiyas HaSukkah does not require Lishma, so if a guy builds a sukkah, it's good. The Rabbi Natam says, if a woman ties tzitzis, it's no good, because the Rabbi Natam assumes that tying the tzitzis needs Lishma. So whoever is any B'Torah cannot create Lishma. But over here, by a Shar Shtaris don't need Ksiva Lishma. So why should there be a din that whoever is any B'Torah can't create the Cheftza? There is no such din. That's how the Bali HaTosis misunderstood the Rabbi Natam. And that's what they yes. How can the Rabbi in time say whoever Zayin B'Torah cannot create a chefze? It's not true. A guy can build a sukkah, and it's a kosher sukkah. I'll be yotze the mitzvah. So to explain, the Rabbi in time we had to add on. The Rabbi in time only said it when the asiyas achefze requires lishma. Whoever Zayin B'Torah can create lishma, but shar shtaris don't need lishma. So Rabbi in time will never say it here. So this pshat that the Tosfos is rejecting, that the Tosfos Rosh explains what they're rejecting. Avalein loymar. This rejected pshat, they're going with the mistaken understanding of the Rabbi Natan. Adaf Namheim Beisa. Whoever is Zayin B'Torah cannot create any cheftza. It doesn't even apply. You can't create a cheftza shal mitzvah, the Rabbi Natan said. You can't create a cheftza shal mitzvah. You can't create a cheftza shal mitzvah when you need asiyah. Asukah is a din of tasav alayim and asa. So there would have been room to. It's wrong. Also, the din is a goy builds a sukkah, it is good. It's not tasav alayim and asa. But at least by sukkah you need an asiyah. Who says a shtar needs an asiyah? If it grows from the ground like that, it would also be good. If a monkey writes it, it's also good. You don't need bichlal and asiyas. How can you say that the asiyah has to be done by a person who's yeshna b'toras? Very difficult. Even a sukkah that's built by a goy is good. How can you say that a shtar mammon that's written by a goy is no good? Whoever is any b'toras can create a cheftza. Why not? Very strange. But that's the pshat that they're referring to, that they're rejecting over here. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Kapasik v'toni, the Mishnah on Yudam Bey says, kol ashtoris. Kol is any and every shtar under the sun. Kol all shtori moment that are oilem ha'kosh and ochem are acceptable. So that was the Gemara's kasha. How can it be? We understand the shtar halvo le'mari nafshai. Obviously, he really borrowed the money. We understand the shtar mechiras karka. He must have paid him $1 million to buy the house. That's what it says in the shtar. He paid him $1 million and he bought the house. And the arko is just right, the shtar le'raya b'yalma. It's a raya it is. But if it's a shtar kinyan, a shtar matana, it's a shtar kinyan. So how can it be good? So the Gemara gave two answers. So the first answer was dina namachusa dina. And the second answer was no. Chutz miki giti noshim. Any shtar kinyan is taka no good. So here the Ran on the Rif raises the question. You have on the margin on the left-hand side of the daf, on Yudam and Beis, it says dina namachusa dina. So they refer you to Bava Kama and to Bava Basra and to Nedarim. In all the three Masechtas, Bava Kama, Bava Basra, and Nedarim, there's no dispute whether Din of Machus or Din or not. The context of all the three Gemaras is the same, talking about collecting taxes. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to cheat on income tax. You have to pay your taxes, and the government is entitled to collect. So the Gemara says, let's say the government confiscated someone's automobile because he didn't pay taxes. And then they come to me and I owe taxes and they took too much from me. They have to reimburse me $2,000. So they give me an automobile that's worth $2,000 that they confiscated from someone else. So is that stolen property? when they give me someone else's automobile, I know it used to belong to my next door neighbor, has his license plate on it. So am I allowed to use that automobile? So the Gemara says, yeah, the government has a right to collect taxes. They have a right to confiscate the automobile when the person doesn't pay the taxes. So it's not Geneva. The Gemara says the government takes the taxes and then they build bridges. And I drive my car on the bridge. How am I allowed to drive my car on the bridge? Stolen goods. They built a bridge with the wood that they took. They chopped down the trees from this guy's forest and they built a bridge. Isn't that Geneva? The Gemara says, no, the government has a right to chop down. Dina machos adina, unless they're just chopping down the wooden trees from this person because he's a lawyer and they don't like lawyers, or because he's Jewish and they don't like Jews. That's chamsanusa de malchusa. That's not dina de malchusa. If the taxation system is unfair, so then it's not called dina, then it's called the rishonim habiloshim, then it's called chamsanusa de malchusa. But if the laws are fair, if the government laws are fair, the Paskim say, let's say if they have graduated taxes, the people who make billions, so they charge them, they're in a higher tax bracket and they have to pay a higher percentage of taxes. And the people who earn less money pay a lower percentage of taxes. Is that called Chamsanus or the Malchusa? Is that considered unfair? So the Paskim say, that's not unfair. Based on Mishnayos, they say, that is considered fair. That makes sense that the government should charge. Those in a higher income bracket should pay a higher percentage of taxes. It's not considered chamsanus. But if the government is unfair in collecting the taxes, they discriminate against the lawyers, or they discriminate against the diamond merchants or something, they discriminate against the Jews or against the Albanians or whatever it is, so then if it's not fair, so that din is, that's not called din of the machlus din. There were those who felt that because the State Department was discriminating against the Medina Yisrael for many years, so that's why they held they don't have to pay taxes. That's not right. The taxation laws are fair in America. They make everybody pay. The American government has the right to support the Arabs if they want. I hope and pray they don't support the Arabs. But if I would be a goy, I would also support the Arabs. Why should I stick my neck out to support Medina Yisrael? Then they're going to charge so much on the oil. Everybody needs oil in order to live. So they have a right to support the Arabs. Unless you have such a crusade to fight for democracy all over the world. Say, Mamish, the American government is Moise Nefesh for their principle of democracy. That's beautiful. But they're not mechuyev to. So if they want to support the Arabs because of the oil consideration, every country makes these political decisions whom they're going to support and which causes. So you can't say, I'm not going to pay taxes because it's unfair. Why is it unfair? Because the State Department discriminates against the Medina Yisrael. They have a right to choose their friends and their enemies. So they want to be friendly with the Arabs. Well, says, that's not considered unfair.
In the Gemara in Dar, the Ron says it means Daf B'Malch, right?
Yeah.
So
as opposed to what?
As opposed to a government that doesn't have a king.
No. No. The Pashtus is... We'll talk about it in a few minutes. Pashtus is Dina de Malchusa. Doesn't need a melech. A malchus doesn't necessarily have to be a melech. A government, if there's a legitimate government. So that's the Ron's question over here. What do you mean? The first answer is Dina Malchusa. Dina, the boy is saying, and if you want to, we'll say, not like the first answer. We'll reject the first answer. It's not true. There is no such Dina as Dina Malchusa. Dina, we'll give a different answer. That is not true. Chutz mikigitei noshim, that take dina machlusa dina doesn't apply, and the shtar mecher is no good. How can you reject dina machlusa dina? What, there's someone who disagrees? Is there anyone who disagrees and holds he don't say dina machlusa dina? That's what the Ran says. That can't be. The Gemara is in Bava Kama, Bava Basra, and the Dharma says all over dina machlusa dina. The Ran thinks the Iboy Seima means to restrict Dina Machusa Dina. It doesn't apply so far. It only applies with respect to collecting taxes. That's a popular opinion. You look in Choshe Mishpon, Simen Shin Samach Tes, Simen about Dina Machusa Dina. So the Ramos says, Yeshomer v'Yeshomer. Yeshomer that Dina Machusa Dina is only that the government has a right to charge taxes v'toivas atzmo. The king wants to become enriched, so he has a right to charge everybody taxes. But that the king should institute chukim and mishpatim, and he should tell us that if a shtar mechir is signed by nochrim, that's acceptable. So we have a whole chosh mishpat. So we don't follow the din of machus. That's what some rishonim say. Yeah. So this is a question: why should that be the case? Why should you say that din of machus should only apply with respect to taxation? So there's a popular notion that the Ran and the Dorim has on Daf Chov Zayin. Where is it? Davchav Ches. The Ran and Darn quotes in the name of the Bali Atesus, that the obligation to pay tax is basically based on the principle of rent. If I have a house, I have a hotel, you want to sleep in my hotel, I have a right to charge you rent. I have an apartment building, so I want to rent out the apartments, so I have a right to charge you rent. You don't pay rent, you're stealing from me, you're not allowed to live there. So the Ran quotes in the name of the Bali Atesus, every country belongs to the king or belongs to the government of that country. The land of America belongs to the American government. The land of Britain belongs to the British government, belongs to the Queen, or to the British government. The land of Holland belongs to the government of Holland. So they have a right to charge rent. So what's the rent? How much rent do they charge? They have a whole system of taxation. That's the rent. Take it or leave it. You don't want to live, you don't want to pay the rent, so don't live in my country. Move out. So if you live in a country and you don't pay taxes, that's considered gneva. That's like moving into someone's apartment house and not paying rent. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says it's a the guy has to rent an apartment from someplace, and this apartment is for rent, and you're going to live in his apartment. You're going to sneak in and live in his apartment without paying him rent. You can sneak in, but you'll be in violation of gneva. You have to pay the rent. So this is the theory that the Ran quotes in the name of the Bali Atesus, and based on that, he comes to the conclusion that the Rabbanu Shalom, who owns Eretz Yisrael? The Rabbanu Shalom, Kili Kol Haaretz. It says, I own Eretz Yisrael. Pashim Shat Kili Kol Haaretz means the whole globe belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom. But a lot of Rishonim say, no, Kili Kol Haaretz, you look in the Sfarno on that Chumash. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom. Britain belongs to the British, and America belongs to the Americans. And Germany belongs to the Germans, and Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom. And the Rabbanu Shalom said, Kindalach, I give all the Jewish people permission, not permission. I want all the Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael. He's not charging us any rent. So no government in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish or non-Jewish, no government in Eretz Yisrael has a right to charge taxes. For Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, they have a right to charge taxes if you have a non-Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. But the government in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish or non-Jewish government, has no right to charge any taxes from the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael, because the whole theory behind taxation is that you have to pay rent. The land belongs to the government, and in Eretz Yisrael it's not true. The land belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom, and the Rabbanu Shalom gave us all permission, and he told us all he wants us to live in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the people don't know the first 27 blot in the Dharm. They don't know after Dachov of Chesterian, but this Ran a lot of people know. You have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. So this Ran is not accepted by Aloha. Not only not accepted by Aloha, you look at Chushmi, not even mentioned. Sometimes they give honorable mention and they say we don't pass them like that. This opinion is not even mentioned in Choshen Mishpat. But why is that? Choshen Mishpat writes just the opposite. Just the opposite. The Iker Din of taxation is in Eretz Yisrael. The original source is in Eretz Yisrael. They're quoting verbatim from the Rambam. The Mechaber of Yesod Karan, Choshen Mishpat, quotes verbatim from the Rambam. The Rambam writes, not only a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael has the right to levy taxes on the Jewish people there, even any government anywhere in the world has a right to charge taxes as well. Why did the Rambam assume that the original din is a Jewish government and Eretz Yisrael taxing the Jewish people? So the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bir Agro on Choshen Mishpat, what is the source in Tanakh for this principle of dina d'machus dina, that the government has a right to charge taxes? So he says, you look in Sefer Shmuel, there's a whole section that's referred to by the Gemara's Parshas HaMelech. When the people approached Shmuel HaNavi and they requested of him that you should appoint a king. Like all the other nations of the world, they all have a king, Tanan Alon HaMelech. They wanted a king. So Shmuel HaNavi says, he took it as a personal affront. What's wrong with me? I'm the Navi. You don't like me anymore. And he starts to give them a whole, he reads the riot act to them. You're going to have a Melech, he's going to charge you taxes. And he's going to draft your sons into the army, and he's going to take your daughters as pilakshim, and he's going to make your children work in his kitchen to build homes for him. And he starts listing off all of the evils of the king. So he says, you don't want a melech. So the people said, no, we do want a melech. So he said, okay, if you insist you want a melech, I'll consult with the Rebbe Shlomo, I'll appoint a melech. So the Gemara has in the second parak in Sanhedrin, that's the parak that has all the dinim of melech. One summer I spent in Eretz Yisrael, Kiryat Arba, so they were learning Sanhedrin there. They started from the second parak, because it's the Oni yeshiva, so they were interested in learning about Malchus Yisrael. Other yeshivas, when they learn Sanhedrin, they learn the first parak, because it has all the tzais, everything in Chayesh Mishpat about Dayanim. This yeshiva, they weren't interested in Chayesh Mishpat. They were interested in Malchus Yisrael and Kohen Gadol. It's Per Kohen Gadol. As all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, the dinim of the Melech. So the Gemara has there, Machlekes Rav Shmuel, the second Perek in Sanhedrin, how to deal with that Parshas HaMelech. Kol Ha'am of the Parshas Melech. Melech Mutabo or Melech Asabo. Are these the evils of the king because the king does Shalokidin? Or these are the evils of the king, but this is legal, this is legitimate. Kol Ha'am Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo, the Melech has the right. So that's a Machlekes Rav Shmuel, and we pass him like Shmuel. Shmuel says, Kol Ha'am Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. So the Vilna Goyen writes that who's the one who says Dina Mechusa Dina? Shmuel. The Gemara always quotes our Gemara and the other three sources. The Gemara always quotes the name of Shmuel. So the Vilna Gaon says that this is Shmuel Shitasa. The Shmuel is the one who says Kolam Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. So that's the source for the Din, that the Melech has a right to levy taxes on the people. The Meiri also writes like that, that this is Shmuel Shitasa. It's very surprising. It comes out that Rav holds Kolam Parshas Melech, Melech Asabo. Government has no right to charge taxes. The American government wouldn't charge taxes. So how are they going to function? That's impossible. That's impossible. The answer is, the American government is a democracy. In a democracy, they're not levying taxes in order to enrich the king. The whole Machlekes Rav Shmuel is, when the king charges tax to his subjects, just in order to enrich himself. He's not giving him any services in exchange for the taxes that he gets. So that's a machlekes. Rabbi Shmuel is entitled to that or not. But in America, in any democracy, the taxes are not levied just in order to enrich the government. You need taxes in order to have mail delivery. You have to have protection. We have an army. We have a Congress. We have you have to pay salary all the people. What else do? They make parks, they make highways, they make all kinds of things. They do all kinds of things. We have three different governments. You have a municipal government, a state government, and a federal government. Each government does different things, and we pay taxes just in order to balance the budget, in order to pay for all the services rendered. So that's a different part. The whole issue of taxation, if you live in a democracy, the taxes are just to cover the expenses. That's like a din of shutfis. That says in Chosh Mishpat. There's a din. All the people that live in a community are considered shutfin. So let's say the people have a vote and they decide that they want to have a museum. They want to have a museum. So let's say you have a shutfis. People joined together. Each one chipped in $100,000 and they started to manufacture shoes. And they sell the shoes all over the world. They have an umbrella store or something. Whatever, they sell hats. And they have 10 shutfin. And that they're doing so well, so 7 out of the 10 shutfin say they want to open a branch in Hong Kong, want to open another branch in Paris, because they're making out so well, they want to make more money. Sheish Lamona wrote some aside. So the 7 who want, and 3 don't want, so the 7 who want to open, expand their company, say that this year no one should take any dividends, no one should take any income from the company. They made millions this year. Everyone should give back all the money that they earned this year and add more money into the shutfis, in order to develop the shutfis more. So it says in Chosh Mishpat, based on Dinim and Toseftis and Gemaris, you go Basarayv, the majority wins. The one that going quotes the Pasuk Acharam Lahatas. The Pasuk in Chumash goes on Dayanim, who having a dispute and it didn't tire. And the Vilna Gaon holds that Pasuk Acharam Lahatas goes on a corporation as well. Whenever you have a shutfis, so the majority rules, the majority wins. So if the majority of the, you have 10 partners in a shoe store, in a hat shop, and 7 out of the 10, or 6 out of the 10, decide they want to expand, then you shouldn't take our profits. Other rabbi, we should put more money back into the business, so you can, the rabbim can be kofer the miut according to their decision. That's the din of shutfim. The shutfim have shiburim to each other. They're meshubah to do whatever the roiv wants to do. And if three of them don't want to go along with it, so they should sell their shares to someone else who is prepared to go along. They can't paralyze the whole shutfis. So the Chosh Mishpat assumes, based on Gemara, is that the same din applies if you have people who live in a community. I was born in New York. I was not born in New York. I was born in Pennsylvania. But let's say if a person was born in New York, so he never joined into the shutfis. He didn't move here al-das in order to become a shutfis, but it doesn't matter. All the people who live in a community are considered shutfim. with respect to all of the needs that they share in common. So if the majority of the citizens of a community, and here we are parts of three different communities. We are part of the municipal community, part of the state community, part of the federal community, in a certain sense, part of the whole world community. The whole world has a connection with each other. Everybody's connected today. So since we're all part of the same community, we share certain needs in common. So there's a din of shutfis. So you go basarayv. So if the majority want to have highways, I'll say, I don't want to have any highways. I don't need the mail delivered. I don't need the water purified. I don't need any of the services that they give. I don't need the fire department. I don't need the police. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to pay any taxes. I don't need any services given at all. So that's ridiculous. The overwhelming majority of the people who live in New York City, New York State, the United States, do want the mail delivered. They do want the water purified. They do want the fire department and so on. So you go bus the right. Whenever you have a shutfis, you go bus the right. So today, even Rob will agree that the government has, if you live in a democracy, most countries are a democracy today. So if you live in, I take it back, I don't know. Maybe most countries are not democracy. But America, let's say, if you live in a country like here, you pay taxes in order to cover the expense, in order to cover the budget. So that's not based on dina machus dina. It's not based on the theory of rent, and it's not based on agzeres hakosav of kolam and parshas melach malchum butabo. That's based on the principle of shutfis. That's the way it says in Chosha Mishpot, that the people that live in a community are considered shutfim, and the shutfim you go bas arayv. If the arayv want, sometimes you even go bas a miut. Sometimes you even go bas a miut. Let's say the miut would like to have a shul. Would like to have a mikveh. And the rov say, no, we'll always travel to the nearby village, which is 3 hours away, and we'll use the mikveh there. Why should we spend money? And they're rolling the money to have enough money to make a mikveh. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that sometimes the miut have the right to be kaifa the rov, not because it's a religious requirement to have a mikveh, to have a shul. No, because in Hilchos Shutfim, normally you follow the rov, unless the miut has such a reasonable taina, then the halacha says you have to follow the miut. Only if everybody says we don't want. Let's say they're doing such good business that Sechel dictates that they should open up, they should expand their store. And only a miut of them want to expand the store, and the rov want to leave it the store small. But sometimes if the Sechel is so compelling that of course everyone, any normal person would say, Sechel dictates you should expand the store, the miut has a right to be kaifer the rov. That you don't always follow rov. That's what he said in Shulchan Aruch. You don't always follow the rov. Sometimes the rov are asking for something foolish. So then in a democracy, you're not supposed to follow the rov. You have to follow either the rov or the miut if they have the gerecht to taina.
This is, so what's the marker for melech mutter? What's the marker that a dinu chusdin even if it's shalok halacha?
What do you mean shalok halacha?
They do something against our Shulchan Aruch. That, you know, in our days, they'll be passing another way.
We'll get to that. Okay. So the...
By the dinim of when Shmuel was giving over the Nebuah, whatever, the Tzibur, doesn't say all the things there were Alpi Alacha? That the Melech allowed to take the daughters, that's Alpi Alacha?
Yeah, that's what we assume. The Melech has a right to take the daughters against their wishes, as Pilakshan, even though they don't agree. Yeah. So that's what we pass from like Shmuel. Hakolam and Pashas Melech, Melech Mutabo. That's the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So Rav holds the Melech is not allowed to charge taxes. What, he's not talking about a government where they charge taxes in order to fund all of the projects that the government is taking care of. The way we have the system set up today, the taxes are not based on taxes. It's based on a din of Hilchos Shutfim. Whoever doesn't pay the taxes is stealing from the other Shutfim. All the Shutfim are mechuyev to pay. If I pay taxes, if you're not paying taxes, I have to pay more taxes. So you're stealing from me. You're stealing from the government. In the days of the Gemara, the taxation was only in order to enrich the government. He didn't give any services. He didn't give any protection. There was no mail delivery. There was nothing. So in order to enrich the government, so that's a machloikas Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi is of the opinion, kolam pas melech, ena melech mutabo. And we don't even pass like that. We pass like Shmuel, the melech is mutabo. But b'zman hazeh, there wouldn't be any machloikas Rabbi Shmuel. So Nachmal, so the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch write, not only does a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael have a right to charge taxes, even any government anywhere in the world has a right to charge taxes. Why does he start off with the premise, not only a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael? So the Vilna Gaon says, because the source of the whole sheet of Shmuel, the Shmuel the Shita, Sekolam, Parashas, Melech, Melech, Mutabo, that's talking about a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So this Ran What the Ran quoted in the Dorim on Daf Chav Ches in the name of the Balei HaTesis, that a Jew never has to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael, is not only not the accepted opinion, not even mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the premise of the Shulchan Aruch, is just a hepach. We assume that the source of the institution, that the government has a right to charge tax, is that pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, that Kol Omer Parshas Melech Mutabo, the king has a right to charge the taxes. So that we paskin like Shmuel, we're not going to reject that. When the Gemara says Ziboy is saying they're rejecting Dinan Machus Adina, so the Ran explains not that they're rejecting totally. No, Dinan Machus Adina is Muskum. Din Muskum, everybody, we follow Shmuel, that the government has a right to charge taxes. But the Machlekes over here is that Dinan Machus Adina even goes so far. Here it's not the topic of charging taxes, it's not the Tovus HaMelech. Melech wants to enrich himself. Here the Melech instituted a whole legal system. The Melech instituted a whole legal system. The government Melech doesn't know jurisprudence. The Melech has a branch of the government and he authorizes them to work out a whole legal system. So part of the legal system is that they want to have a Kenyan Shtar. So that's the Shaila. So the first lotion of the Gemara says we apply Dina Mechus Adina even with respect to that. And the second lotion holds not so. These are two opinions in Chosh Mishpat. Is that what it says in the Gemara? Is that what the Iboy say? We pass like the Iboy say, Mechutz Mikiki Dinoshin. So is that because we reject the first opinion that Dina Mechus Adina doesn't go so far or not? Why should one? That's not in Parshas HaMelech. Where does that come from? Where does the first opinion come off to say that Dina Mechus Adina even applies to instituting a whole legal system? So the Achrayim say, this already doesn't say, the Vilna Gaon only talks about taxes. Vilna Gaon says taxes is based on Parshas Melech and Shmuel Shitos. So this, the Achrayim already say, this is Zalman Meltzer has this and others write like that. That's based on the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Nerech, one of them is Dinim. So what does it mean, Dinim? So Dinim is a question. So the Ramban Achumish writes in Parshas Vayishlach that Dinim includes all of the Chof Dalet Ovos Nezikim. That the Goyim have to observe all of the Chof Dalet Ovos Nezikim. That's a little bit of a guzman because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Beferish that the Dinim of Bnei Noach don't include Knas, only includes Mammon. So several of the Chof Dalet Ovos Nezikim, Oynes and Mefatim, Oysi Shemra, Shloshim Shaleved, said that you're not going to have by Bnei Noach, that's Knas. So the Ramban has to be modified a little bit. But there's a Tshuvas HaRamo like that. The Ramo Paskins like that Ramban. The Ramo had a cousin, the Maram Padua, who lived in Padua, who lived in Italy. And he printed a new edition of the Ramban. Ramo lived in the 1500s. So his cousin printed a new edition of the Ramban. And he was charging an arm and a leg for his edition. Because he had to set the type all over again. They didn't have such a thing as just offsetting, Xeroxing. So setting the type cost a fortune a month. So there was a Nochri who took an old edition of the Rambam and he reprinted it. Maram Padua added on Hagoes on the Rambam. So if you look in the Rambam, once in a long while you have a Hagoes here. On the bottom, you have on the side Kesem Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, Magi Mishnah, Mishnah Melech, Migdalois. Everyone has a title, a name. Then you have over here, you have comments that it doesn't say who it is. Sometimes it's a correction, sometimes it's a kasha, sometimes it's a teretz. So those are the Hagos of the Maharam Padua. Here's one over here on the bottom of the page. Tamil, it's right below the last line in the Rambam before you get to the Lecha Mishnah, before anybody. Here you have a different reading in the Rambam. These are the little Haoris. This is the Hagoas of the Maram Padua. So so Nochri, after the Maram Padua printed his Rambam and he was charging a fortune of money to cover his expenses, so Nochri reprinted the Rambam. So he didn't have a copyright on the Rambam. He didn't write the Rambam. So Nochri took an old edition of the Rambam and he reprinted it. And he was selling it for less than the Maram Padua. So the Maram Padua was going to lose his pants. He laid out so much money to print the Rambam, but there's Hagoyes. And now everyone's going to buy the Goy's Rambam. The Goy's selling it for less than he's selling it for. So he asked the Ramo, his cousin, to support him. Give up Psak that no one's allowed to buy the Goy's Rambam. So the Ramo has such a tshuva, and the tshuva's a Ramo. And he gives up the seven reasons why no one's allowed to buy the Goy's Rambam. So he gives one reason based on the Gemara in Perek HaZoha, V'chisir m'ker m'imker la misecha, akona miyada misecha. Whenever you're selling, if you can either sell to a Yisrael or to an Achri, you should prefer to sell to a Yisrael. Akona miyada misecha, when you're purchasing something, you can either purchase from an Achri or from a Yisrael, so you should choose to purchase from a Yisrael. And the Gemara says, B'feirish in Perek HaZoha, even if the Yisrael is charging a little more. So here the Maran Padba was charging a little more, so it's a din. You have to pay extra. Then he says there's another reason. The Ramah says that the Gemara says Al Tashkin Ba'alecha Avlo. You're not allowed to have at home a sefer Shena Muga. If you have a sefer that has mistakes in it, so you may paskin wrong. You may learn everything up wrong. So the old Ramam doesn't have the Hagoyas of the Maran Padua, and the new Ramam does. So that's called a sefer Shena Muga. That's a little bit humorous. I mean, the Ramam is the exact same text that the Ramam. Because it says over here, smag sin pay base to chashim mishpat, smag and tur shon, these tiny little hagoyas. So the Rambam without this is a sefer shena muga, this is a sefer muga. Once in a while he has a girsa on the bottom of the page. Yeah, they're different parts of the Rambam here. I'm looking over here in Kochim, he hardly has any comments on the bottom of the page. When you get to Nezikin, he has almost on every page, every other page. He has a hagoah on the bottom of the page. So that's the second reason that the Rambam gives, sefer shena muga. He gives a whole bunch of reasons. Then he has another reason that the Ramban writes in Chumash and Parshas Vayishlach that dinim includes all of the Choftal or Rav's Nezik, means that the whole Choshen Mishpat, lock, stock, and barrel has to be observed by the Nochem. So there's a din of Choshen Mishpat that's quoting a Gemara in the second parak in Bava Basra, that if a Talmud Chacham comes to town full of brush men, he's selling toothpaste and lipstick and cosmetics and whatever. So two people come to town. So one is a Talmud Chacham, and if he'll make his business, he'll finish selling in 3 hours, then the rest of the day he'll be learning. The other guy is not a Talmud Chacham. If he'll make enough money for the day, he'll just waste away the rest of the day. So the Gemara says, if you have two people came to town and they're selling the same thing, and one is a Tzur from the Rabban, and one is a Talmud Chacham, so Naktina Leishuka. We give him the right to sell first all of the merchandise that he has, so he'll be able to learn the rest of the day. And after he sells out everything that he has, then we let the other sell. So the Chorid, this is a din on Jewish customers. A Jew is mechuyev to see to it that I should learn, I should see to it that other people should learn as well. So if you have a merchant and he's going to sell all of his wares, his merchandise, in 3 hours, then the rest of the day he's going to learn. So I should support Lom De Torah. Anochri is not mechuyev to learn, is not mechuyev to support Torah. So the Ramah says, no, but that's quoted in the Choshen Mishpat. Bin Mikre, happens to be quoted in the Choshen Mishpat. I would have thought it's a mistake. It really belongs in Yoreday. It should say in Yoreday, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. You should learn, you should encourage other people to learn, and you should support Talmid HaChacham. But because it's quoted in the Choshen Mishpat, so the Ramah writes in his long tshuva, in the tshuva's Ramah, whatever it says in the Choshen Mishpat is included in the Chof Tal Rav's Nezikin, and the Goyim are obligated to observe that too. So since the Maran Padua was a Talmud Chacham, so Naktina Leishuke, no one's allowed to buy any of the editions of the Nochri until the Maran Padua sells out of all his editions. It gives a whole bunch of other reasons as well. So this is the question. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs, Bini Noyach, is Dinim. So what does that mean, Dinim? So the Rabban Chumash writes, and the Ramah accepts that Halacha Dinim means that the non-Jews have to follow lock, stock, and barrel, all the choftal rabbis nezikin. Well, modified a little bit. They don't have to knosis, not mamon is, yeah, okay. They're obligated to follow our choshen mishpat. They're obligated to follow our dinim. And the others, other achrayim say no, not like the Ramah. They're not obligated to follow our dinim. Dinim means that they have the right to, they have an obligation to institute a whole legal system that should maintain law and order. They have a right to make up their own legal system. They're obligated to follow. The Chosh Mishmah, not Mechuyev to observe the Choftal Rabbis Nezik. They can make up another legal system that's reasonable. So that's the Pashtus of the first Lashon in the Gemara. Dina Mechusadina, the Gemara is using it over here, not with respect to charging tax. The famous Din in the other Mesichtis, in Bava Kama, Bava Basra, and the Dorim, is Dina Mechusa, charging tax, that we paskin like Shmuel. We're not going to have an Ibai Seima paskining against Shmuel. But the Ibai Seima over here is rejecting the extension. That the first opinion in the Gemara extended Din al-Machusa even with respect to instituting a whole legal system. So that's what the Ran says. That was what the second opinion rejected. Second opinion holds that the Shalom don't have the right to institute their own legal system. They have So what does dinim mean? Like the Ramah, they have to follow the Choshen Mishpat, they have to follow the whole Chavtal that Ravas Nezika. That's very surprising. And that's why we mentioned a different pshat. We mentioned from the Chazanish. Chazanish quotes the Rabbeinu Yoina from Baba Basra, the Aliyah is the Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina says no. The Nochrim, part of the din of dinim is that the Nochrim have a right and an obligation to institute a legal system. It doesn't have to correspond to the Choshen Mishpat, the Chavtal that Ravas Nezika. But that din on din al-machus only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. Here we're talking both parties involved are Jewish. That's how Rashi says over here. He's buying the sada mi Yisrael chaveiro. Rashi says, mechayayv ha'igavar zuzi li Yisrael chavrei. When Reuben paid the money to Shimon to buy his karka, so the Medumer and Agamar is they're both, it's Reuben and Shimon, they're both Jewish people. So whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, then din al-machus doesn't apply. The first lashon is muskam la'alocha. Din of the machus adina doesn't only apply with respect to the government's right to levy taxes to enrich themselves. That's Shmuel says that we know. Din of the machus even applies with respect to instituting a whole legal system based on dinim. The shevim is menel dinim. They're not like the Ramah. They don't have to follow the Ramban. They don't have to follow the Choftar always and Zikna Choshim Mishpat. But it only applies at least when one of the parties is a non-Jew and both parties involved are Jewish. So the whole din doesn't apply. That's why I mentioned the Mahari Tatz lived in Sfat in the 1500s. He was very young when Rabbi Yosef Karo died. And then Rabbi Yosef Karo's son had a whole shaila with chalitza, with yibum. So there was a whole issue. So he wrote a tshuva when he was very young, a knockout tshuva. And everybody recognized he was a big Talmid Chacham. There were two people with the same Rosh Yitzchak Maritatz. One was Rabbi Yontov Tzahalon. He lived in Sfat. He was the one we're talking about. Then was a different one, Rabbi Yosef Taitatzah. He was a rabbi in Constantinople at the same time. Both Svartish. So this Maritatz from Sfat, he writes in his tshuvas that the Rabbanim from Sfat sent him to the neighboring Arab countries to encourage the people that they should not follow Din and Machus with respect to Hilchos Yerusha. Because the halacha says we only follow dina machus adina when one of the parties involved is Jewish. When a Jewish person dies, and we're talking about distributing the estate to the sons, to the daughters, to the cousins, and so on, so all the people involved are Jewish. You can't apply dina machus over there. Dina machus only applies at least one of the parties has to be a nachri. So that's why the second lashon doesn't agree with the first lashon. Anybody saying that dina machus doesn't apply over here because all the parties involved are Jewish? So how in the world can the first lashon in the Gemara say Dina Machus applies? Both parties, it's Reuben and Shimon, Yisrael Chaveiro. So that's what the Chazanish quoted. This Rabbeinu Yoina had a whole interpretation in the Gemara. So he said, Dina Machus, the laws of the land don't apply whenever all of the parties involved are Jewish, unless they went to court. They're not supposed to go to court. There's an Isser. Lifneim, the Gemara has later. Lifneim, lo lifnei arkos, lo lifnei akum. You're not allowed to go to secular court. What if two Jewish parties went to court and the judge gave a psak? So once the judge gave a psak, says, always get paskin. The judge is going to paskin based on din of machusa. So if the judge issues a psak, just like we know there's a din of hefker bezna hefker, so too there's a din of machusa din. In fact, we explained it's not that just like so too. It's not just like there is a din. The basis for Hefker bezna hefker is dina machus adina. That's what the Dvar Avram quotes in his first tshuva. He quotes a Gemara Sanhedrin and Dafei. The basis for the din is dina machus. The government has a right to pass them whatever they want. And if the government is not doing their job well, so then hefker bezna rabbanim have a right to act as if they are a government also. But the basis of the din of hefker bezna hefker is rooted in the din of dina machus adina. So if two Jewish parties are not allowed to go to court, but they went to secular court, and the judge issued a psak on their case, so the psak is binding. The Bezdin may decide later on that the fellow who won the Din Torah deserves to be penalized because he shouldn't have gone to secular court. So they may decide to penalize him that he's not going to be entitled to the money that the judge awarded him. Okay, so that the Bezdin may or may not decide to penalize him. But let's say they both violated the Din of our cause. They both went out of their own free will, not that the Toveya pressured the Nitva to go to secular court, and there he won the case because the judge sided with the Taveh. The Taveh and the Nitva, they both went to secular court, so why should Bezin decide to penalize the Taveh as opposed to the Nitva, they both violated the din of going to Arkos. So if the Bezdin will not penalize them, so then Din of the Machusa will apply because the judge paskin on this case. So that's the first opinion in the Gemara, is that Shtaris or the Makosh al Nachrim, since it was taken care of by the secular courts, so it's considered as if the judge paskin on your case that you're kaidah. And the second Lashon Gemara holds, no, the secular court is sponsored by the government, but they just drew up a document over here. So that's not considered like the judge issuing a psak on the case. There was no sichsuch, there was no issue involved that they had there was no court case. They just drew up a shtar kinyan in the court. So that's what the Rabbi Yon learns, that's the machloikis, the first Lashon and the second Lashon. Din Machus certainly entitles the Nochem to make up their own rules and regulations. So they have a right to make up their own laws. And they have a right to institute a law, even if you hold like the Rabbi Natam, that a Nochri cannot be kind of karka bishtar, but if this country established such a law, they can make such a law. But the law only applies whenever one of the parties involved is not Jewish. If all the parties involved are Jewish, Din Machus does not apply. So unless the two parties are Jewish and they went to court and the court paskened on their case, and then they issued a psak on this case. So then the Din Machusa will apply. So the first Lashon the Gemara holds, even though they didn't come for a decision of the court just drew up a document. That's also considered as if the court issued a psak. And the second Lashon holds, no, Yibayseima, that's not considered that the court paskened on your case. They're employing the principle of Kinyan Shtar, but it was never... An issue was never raised in the court. Is this Kinyan valid? The judges in the court happened to sign a document. That's not the role of the judge to sign documents. The role of the judge is to issue psakim on cases. So that's the machlokes du l'shaynis in the Gemara. This halacha that this is muskim in Shulchan Aruch, that what the Maritatz wrote in his Tshuva. That din of the machusa in Shulchan Aruch, they quoted from the Tshuvas HaRashba like that. That din of machusa din only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. When all the parties involved are Jewish, we don't apply Din and Machusa. So they quote from the Rashba, if you'll apply Din and Machusa, even if all the parties involved are Jewish, you can take the whole Chesh Mishpat and throw it in the garbage. What, we're just going to follow Din and Machusa? You take the whole Seder Nezikin and you just put it in the Shemus. Just follow Din and Machusa. So he says, no, whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, Din Machusa does not apply. Whenever one of the parties involved is a non-Jew, then the secular law of the land sets in. Automatically it sets in. There is a Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. See, this idea is based on one, the end of Bava Kamma. Gemara says, if a Jew and a non-Jew come to Din Torah, they come to a Bezdin for a dispute in Dini Mamanis, so the Bezdin should use their seichel to see how can they be mezaka the Jew. See if by employing Chosh Mishpat the Jew will win the Din Torah, so they should use Chosh Mishpat. And if by using secular law the Jew will win the Din Torah, so they should use secular law. So that's very unfair. What kind of business is this? Either you apply Din Machos, you apply Jewish law. So if you look in the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, it's a little unclear. Look in the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, it says Beferish, what it means is like this. Not a Jew and a non-Jew come to court. A Jew and an Ovid Avodah Zarah come to court. A Jew and a non-Jew come to court, there's no machlekes, no shayla. You follow Din and Machusa. The Jew doesn't have to go to Din Torah. The prohibition against going to Arkos only applies if all the parties involved are Jewish. If one of the parties involved is a non-Jew, he's permitted to go to secular court. But even if he goes to, let's say the Nochim will agree to go to a Jewish bezin. Sometimes the Nochim choose to go, sometimes you have a case. All the parties involved are Nochim, and they would prefer to go to a Jewish court as opposed to going to a secular court. First of all, it doesn't cost as much as a secular court. Secondly, the psak will be more reasonable because the psak is given by intelligent people who studied years in yeshivas, chosh and mishpat, as opposed to in secular court. The psak is given by whoever the jury happens to be. A lot of them are simply illiterate. When you go for jury duty, so they once passed me because I was overqualified. You say you're a rabbi and you teach Talmud in Jewish university, they sometimes, once they did accept me, once they didn't accept me. They didn't want someone who's too intelligent. They'd rather have someone who can't read English, can't read any language. So a lot of the Nochem know that. They'd rather have a psak. They think the psak will be more fair if it's issued by intelligent people who study law, study jurisprudence. is less expensive, and they'll get a din Torah faster. If you're going to court, you may have to wait 2 years till the court case comes up. You got a din Torah, they'll arrange for a din Torah next week. They won't keep you waiting 6 months. And the psak will probably make more sense. So in Europe, is before the war, every so often, there would be two nochem who had a court case. They had a dispute with each other. They would go to the local rabbi for a psak. They wouldn't go to the court. They knew that they would get a more intelligent psak by going to the best. And here in America also, there are bati dinim, which have such a good reputation, that even cases where all the parties involved are non-Jews, the non-Jews would prefer to go to the local bezin rather than to go to the secular courts. Because they know that it'll be less expensive and it'll be a more fair decision. So again, so if you have a court case between a Jew and a non-Jew who's not an Oved Avodah Zarah, so then if he wants, he can go to secular court. The prohibition against going to our courts only applies if all the parties involved are Jewish. But if they decide they want to go to a bezin, so the bezin has to paskin based on din and machusa. Since one of the parties involved is a non-Jew, they have no right to choose whichever is in the best interest of the Jew, so they're going to use that. That's Geneva. They're not allowed to do that. That Gemara only talks, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are explicit in interpreting the Gemara like that. Gemara talks a Jew has a court case with an Oyver Avodah Zarah, not with Stama Nochri. With a Nochri Oyver Avodah Zarah, so we're going out to get him. We want to penalize the Nochri Oyver Avodah Zarah. He shouldn't be worshipping Avodah Zarah. So then, if they come to a Bezdin, so then we should always choose whichever is either the secular legal system or the halacha, whichever is in the best interest of the Jew, we should choose that. You have to be careful not to make a chil Hashem, but you should choose whichever is in the best interest. So for that Gemara, the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch understand it, the premise is that the Ikar Adin, whenever one of the parties involved is a non-Jew, so automatically the Din of Machusa does set in. But over here the Medubra asked the Rabbinian, he says, over here the Medubra is that the both parties are Jewish. The parties are Jewish, really Din of Machusa should not apply. So the first Lashon in the Gemara came up with a Chiddush, that since this Shtar was filled out by the Akoyas, that's considered as if they gave a Psak on this case. They gave a Psak on this case, so then even if all the parties are Jewish, the Psak is a Psak. And the second Lashon says, no, that's not a Psak. They didn't fill it out with Torah's court decision. They filled it out with Torah's Ashtar Kenyan. That's not called a Psak.
What about Dina Demachusa, do you know when it comes to Lapis, or else you put someone to death?
Right, so we have other areas of halacha where everybody agrees that you do apply din mechusa din. Take, for example, there's a difference between kesef and shove kesef. When we get married, so we choose to be mekadesh with the tabas, that's shove kesef. Shove kesef din kikesef. But there is a din of pidyon ma'aser sheni. The Gemara has three cases where shove kesef is lav kikesef. So one of them is pidyon ma'aser sheni, you have to have lav kikesef, you can't be paid on shove kesef. The Gemara in Hazav says it, says, v'tzarta kesef yadech has to be kesef. So what's the definition of kesef? So the Shach writes in Yerideya and Hilchos Ribbis. Should have appeared somewhere Achash Mishpat also, but it doesn't. It's a Shach in the middle of Hilchos Ribbis. He says, kesef means legal tender, recognized by the government as a means of paying all debts. So you have to have a government. If it's a recognized government, then they declare this is legal tender. Money doesn't have to be printed by the government. The coins don't have to be minted by the government, but it has to be under the auspices, under the supervision of the government, and the government declares that this is legal tender, so that's considered kesef. So let's say if you have a bunch of gangsters are running the country, and the whole thing is illegal, and they're minting coins, so that's going to have the status of shove kesef. That's not going to be considered kesef. See, in Eretz Yisrael, there are those who consider the government as a bunch of pirates. They don't recognize the Israeli government. So if they're really convinced of that, then they can't use Israeli coins for the purpose of pinyon ma'aser sheni. Because a pirate, it says beferish and chashmish b'derama, if a pirate mints coins, so that's not called legal tender. Legal means that it's a government that's recognized by the people. They say v'haraya, the Chazon Ish writes, when you play the ma'aser sheni, the Chazon Ish writes, you use a shilling. Beferish, but Chazon Ish doesn't recognize Israeli government. That volume of the Chazon Ish was published before 1948. So of course, he says, use the shilling. That's the matbeah that's recognized by the government at that time. So that everybody agrees that there's a principle of Dina and Machus Adina. Then there's another principle of Dina and Machus Adina also that everyone accepts. Abdi Nezer has a whole tshuva. Mechelik, at the end of Mechelik Yerudea, Melchus Talmud Torah. So there's a whole tshuva about Yerusha and Rabbanus. The din is that Sarara says Nechumish Leman Yarach Yamam Mamlach Tuhu Vonav Vikerv Yisroel. So that pasuk teaches us that Malchus goes over the Yerusha. So the shayla is, what about Rabbanus? Does Rabbanus is a Sarara? Does the halacha say Rabbanus also goes over the Yerusha? Or do you say no? Liman HaTorah doesn't go be Yerusha. So since the Torah is not a Yerusha, then maybe the Rabbanus should not be a Yerusha. How does one view Rabbanus? Rabbanus is a Sarara of Liman HaTorah, which by definition does not go be Yerusha. Just because a person is a Tana doesn't mean that any of his children are going to be Tanoim. Just because a person is Talmud Chacham doesn't necessarily follow his children are going to be Talmud Chacham. So the other days there's a whole fantastic tshuva. That's the tshuva that's called Sheish Maidos Lakisei. He has to overcome six hurdles in order to paskin that the son-in-law, as a shayla, this rabbi passed away, and he had a son, and he had a son-in-law. Now, the daughter can't be the rabbi. They were these are backwards times. They never had any women rabbis 100 years ago. He assumes the daughter can't serve as the rabbi, so the shayla is, does the son-in-law have any claim to Yarshin the Rabbanus from his father-in-law? And if he does have a claim, the son-in-law is more merutza l'kol than the son, so who Yarshins the Rabbanus? So he has six different Chalokim to the tshuva, so he calls it Sheish Milas Lakise. Because on Shlomo HaMelech's throne, there were six steps in order to get up. So he had to walk up the six steps. So all the tshuvas of the Avodah Zarah just have numbers, and this tshuva has a title. It's the only tshuva that has a title. Sheish Milas Lakise. The six steps to lead to the Kisei HaRabbanus. So in the middle of that tshuva, very beautiful tshuva, he quotes a lot of psukim from Nevi'im, Uksuvim, to establish what's the nature of Malchus, in order to establish what's the nature of Rabbanus. So he says the main role of the Melech is Melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. That's a pasuk in Mishle. The role of the king, of the government, is to maintain law and order. So the government has the responsibility and the obligation to introduce laws that the people should be fair to each other. So they're supposed to introduce minimum wages, laws of minimum wages, rent control, that you shouldn't charge too much, or that the grocery stores shouldn't charge too much on basic foods, on milk and on bread and on eggs. People eat it. If they're selling candy, so you can live without the candy. If they're selling diamonds, they can charge whatever they want. Don't buy the diamonds. But on things that you need in order to live, so that's not fair that the dinim and the gemara like that. And the government has the obligation to institute these laws. So years ago, here in America, 70 years ago, used to be Jewish landlords who used to rent their apartments to Jewish tenants, and they wouldn't observe the laws of rent control. They would charge whatever they wanted to, and they said, it says in Chosh Mishpah that Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. See, the landlord is Jewish and the tenant is Jewish. They were Jewish companies, Jewish-owned companies, and they would have Jewish workers, and they wouldn't pay them the minimum wages. They said, it says in Chosh Mishpah, Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. Here, the boss, the owner of the company, is Jewish, and the workers are Jewish, so Dina Machusa doesn't apply. So at that time, Rabbi Henkin published the Tshuva, which is reprinted now that he passed away already a long time ago, so they reprinted all of his Pisgei Halacha. So he writes, no, those laws that are the Tikkun HaMedina to maintain law and order, that's the responsibility of the government. Those laws do apply. The laws on maintaining Melech B'mishpat Yamid Eretz, so the people shouldn't rip each other off. Those laws apply even if all the parties involved are Jewish. That's the obligation of the government. What it says in Chosh Mishpat, that if all the parties involved are Jewish, you don't apply Dina Machusa, that means the Chukim and Mishpatim, the legal system that the government, that the American government worked out, doesn't apply. When all the parties involved are Jewish, we follow our legal system. We follow the Chosh Mishpat based on Seder and Nezikin. We follow Chav Dalet Rav is Nezikin. They don't have to follow that. They make up their own system. But this is something over and above that. This is a takana letikan amdina to make sure that the people don't rip each other off and so on. So takana letikan amdina is binding even if all of the parties are Jewish. Then the Gemara has in Bava Metzia, the Pei Gimel, the Gemara has one of the Tanoim, you gotta make a living. So one of the Tanoim was a policeman for the Roman government. They had Roman policemen to police the Romans, but they didn't know how to talk Yiddish, so they couldn't catch any Jewish criminals. So they had to have Yiddish-speaking policemen to catch Jewish criminals. So this policeman, Rav Lazar Reb Shimon, so he used to look around in the morning to see who's yawning over breakfast. So whoever was yawning obviously didn't sleep last night. So where was he? So did he go on a date last night? Where was he last night? So if he's a Talmud Chacham, they assume he must have been learning all night. If he's a single guy going on a date. If he's Nishkin Talmud Chacham and not going on a date, so what was it? He must have been cracking open safes. He must have been robbing. So whenever there was a Geneva in town and they didn't know who, and they knew that Ganef was a Jewish Ganef, so he would arrest whoever was yawning over breakfast and they would give him the death penalty based on the circumstantial evidence. And on different occasions, the Gemara quotes these Jewish Ganovim who were arrested by this Tana would scream bloody murder, that's not fair, I'm innocent. So the Gemara says it was never true, he was always right. Every single case where he mustered over, where this policeman gave these people over to the government that they should kill him, the Gemara says every time he was right. So the Shita Mekubetz is over there. So the Gemara says, Eliyahu Novi appeared to this town and he told him, it's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. Why don't you go join a kollel? Why don't you go do something else for a living? It's not nice to do. But what did he tell him? It's not nice. He should have said it's Mesira. So you see from the Gemara, it's not a din of Mesira. Mesira is only when a Shaloika did. When it's Kedin. If the guy is a Ganef, and according to the Chukam Dina, give him the death penalty, even though the death penalty is not in our, by Dina Yisrael, you don't give the death penalty to the one who's a Ganef. But the goyim have a right; they have an obligation to. The Gemara says, "Hazarosim zuim misasim." When the nochem violate any of the seven mitzvahs b'nerech, they deserve the death penalty. If the Jew violates gezel, he doesn't deserve the death penalty. But the government has a right to administer the death penalty to Jews who violate Geneva, and the Jewish person is allowed to help them out. That's what the Sheet Mukobetz says. You see from this Gemara. So that's lahanish. The government has a right to punish people who are criminals. That's included in Dina Machusa. They even have a right to punish Jewish people who are criminals. And I have a right to help them also. If I can get a better parnasa, I should. But if you can't get a better parnasa, since strictly speaking, it's not an Issa Mesir. So these are for sure aspects of Dina Machusa that everyone accepts. We accept Dina Machusa as far as establishing what's called Kesef as opposed to Shove Kesef, legal tender. And that's the Shach and Hilchas Ribbis. Then we say Dina Machusa in order to institute Melech ben Mishpat Yamin Eretz, to institute laws that to maintain law and order, not the legal system, to maintain law and order about the minimum wages, the maximum rent control, the maximum prices, and so on. That for sure Din al-Machus applies. Then Lahanish, also everyone agrees that you apply Din al-Machus Adina. And to charge taxes, we pass on like Shmuel. Could be that Rav, the Vilna Goyen and the Miri hold that Rav disagrees. But in our present day government, if you live in a democracy, so the taxes are not collected to enrich the government. The taxes are collected in order to balance the budget. So then everyone would agree that even Rav would agree that you got to pay the taxes. That's the Torah's shutfus. So we reject. That's the shot of the three suggestions. Why does the Iboy Seima disagree with the first Lashon? Dina Machlusa is the accepted Psak. So that's what the Ran writes on our Gemara. We're not rejecting totally Dina Machlusa. We're rejecting the application over here. So that's the Shaila why. So some Rishonim said, we only accept Dina Machlusa Dina with respect to levying taxes, L'Tobis HaMelech, but not with respect to introducing Chukim and Mishpatim. And that's generally not the accepted opinion. We hold like that Gemara at the end of Bava Kama. Why? Because he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. If he wouldn't have been an Ovid Avodah Zarah, we would have applied Dina Machusa. The guy do have a right to institute Chukim and Mishpatim. That's not under dispute. But over here, the issue is that both parties are Jewish. Both parties are Jewish, and that's why it shouldn't apply. And that does make sense that that should be two Lushanis in the Gemara either. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yoni explains. The Machlokes, that's what the Chazon Ish likes, that Rabbeinu Yoni. Machlokes is this considered as if the court gave a psak on the case? Well, not really. The court filled out a shtar mechira, a shtar matonis. That's not considered a psak of the court. Yeah, this is an important din. Din Machus is important. Okay, I have to apologize. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight for the OU convention, so I won't be able to give shiur the next few days. So the next time I'll give a shiur is Wednesday of next week. I'm coming back Wednesday morning. Then I have to leave on Wednesday afternoon. So in order to be able to get to the flight Wednesday afternoon next week, I have to give an early shiur next week. So Balineta, the next year will be, that's like in the Reform Temple, they announce on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, we'll reconvene next year on Rosh Hashanah. We only got Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So we will reconvene next Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, Balineta. Okay. I plan to give a shiur on Thursday morning also, next week. Thursday morning. Okay.